Add dry eye relief to your routine with Refresh Optive Mega 3, a lubricating eye drop with a moisture-rich, preservative-free formula enhanced with an active ingredient like flaxseed oil and antioxidants. This formula supports all three tear film layers and provides advanced hydration to instantly moisturize and soothe dry eyes. Refresh Optive Mega 3 is safe to use as often as needed, so you can make it part of your wellness routine. Find Refresh online or in the eye drop section at all major retailers. FSA and HSA eligible.
Now more than ever, Lowe's knows you don't just want a low price, you want the lowest price. And with our lowest price guarantee, you can count on us for competitive prices on all your home improvement projects. If you find a qualifying lower price somewhere else on the same item, we'll match it. Lowe's, we help, you save. Price match applies to same item, current price at qualifying retailers. Exclusions and terms apply. Learn how we'll match price at Lowe's.com/lowest price guarantee.
Astonishing Legends Network.
The views and opinions expressed by hosts and listeners on the Astonishing Dead Letter Office are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of Astonishing Legends Productions, the Astonishing Legends Network, or any affiliated entities or guests.
When something unexplainable happens to you, it can make you feel isolated or alone. But trust us, you're not. For over a decade, you've been sending your strange stories to Astonishing Legends, and now it's time for our fellow Legenders to hear them too. Join us weekly in the vault beneath Blanket Fortiana, which we call the Astonishing Dead Letter Office.
Tonight's episode, Stained.
We did a three-part series on the Black Monk of Pontefract in West Yorkshire back in September of 2018. For that, we got to speak with the current caretaker of the house at 30 East Drive in Pontefract, Carol Fieldhouse. Her Yorkshire accent required some concentration to follow, but her story was amazing.
I sent that one out for transcription, asking for a human transcription versus AI, and even the humans had a hard time getting that transcription.
Well, yes, Yorkshire accents are very distinctive, even within England, but I find them pleasing. But sometimes people
you just
here
have to
in the
get
States.
Tuned in.
Yeah, it's like listening to Shakespeare. You gotta get in the vibe of it. Well, Eric, who sent tonight's dead letter, stayed in the actual Black Monk house. A lot like how you can stay at the Sally House in Atchison, Kansas, and he had quite the experience there.
I live in Wales, near the UK's Roswell, and I've worked all over the UK. My first job after university was for a funeral company, which was actually a fantastic job where I got to see a part of life many people forget about until that time comes. After this, I wound up working in, let's just say, a highly secure area of the justice sector, where I've met some interesting and sometimes infamous characters, but sadly, I can't say too much about them. What I did want to let you know is that from around 2013 through 2016, I lived in Pontefract, West Yorkshire. While here, I got my Scooby on and signed up last minute to a night stay over in 30 East Drive, home of the Black Monk. Anyway, after turning up, I was brought into the house to meet the rest of the Scooby gang, who I'd only talked to prior via social media. They seemed a genuine bunch of hippie-cum-pagans, and I felt at ease even with the weight of such a presence around the house, which was difficult to explain, as perhaps I had built the emotion in my head too much beforehand. I had watched When the Lights Went Out not long before. So after a few talks from our host, who looked as though he should be giving talks in a graveyard by the way he was dressed in a long black trench coat, we started with a small seance. Several of us felt a cold chill in the living room, emanating from the back far corner, but this could have been a draft. We were told that the owners of the house were quite strict on who they let inside, as several people have been caught trying to five-inch or pinch various household items and sell them online. Then came my time to shine. The group set up a small Ouija board on the kitchen table. They asked the usual questions, is anyone there, etc., but then they asked if they would like anyone to venture into the upstairs bedroom alone, and if so, would they please choose who would dare? And so, without a moment's hesitation, the planchette heads straight towards me and shakes. Great. So armed with a walkie-talkie and a torch, I head upstairs into the back left bedroom. I sat on the bed and immediately noticed I was not alone in the room at all. About half a dozen dead-eyed children's dolls stared back at me from the mirror. I tried not to turn around to look at them when the questions began. The host on the other end of the line told me to start asking the usual questions. Is anyone there? Etc. As soon as I opened my mouth, I felt as if something seriously dark filled the room, and if I wanted to get up and run, I couldn't have. My body was frozen. It was all I could do over the next 15 minutes to try to convince myself I had not seen the dolls move behind me. When they finally said I could come back down, I bolted down the stairs as fast as humanly possible and went nowhere in the house on my own the rest of the night. I tried to explain the feeling from the room, but could only describe it with one word: oppressive. I later learned that one other from the group suffered temporary panic attacks following that night from being alone in a small closet upstairs, although he was back to himself within a week. What I wanted to say was, though we know these dark energies exist, I am unconvinced that they are the work of the Black Monk. I often feel that we visitors to these haunted places leave our own fears there as a sort of byproduct, and these linger to infect others, leaving a stain which increases as more enter these grounds. Why are places haunted so many years after the original events? Are they? Or do we power up these places with our own fears and energies, therefore keeping them alive and preserving them?
Well, classic activity, especially for some place as infamous as 30 Pontefract. In that house, I think there's a lot of things residing there, much like the Sally House. It may not be one specific thing, but for ease of discussion, we focus on one thing. So Sally House, it's Sally, a little girl,
which
probably isn't a little girl, but maybe. Maybe a spirit there. And here you have a black monk, but there's also been described a soldier dressed in armor with a pike or a halberd of some kind, a battle axe that people have seen, I think from the Battle of Chequerfield. If I remember correctly, there was a famous battle, very bloody battle that happened near the grounds there and in the vicinity. And so people have seen soldiers as well. It's a type of portal that house is, I think, where there's a lot of things passing in and out. And the one thing that you try to look for is, what's the cause of this? Was there some horrible incident that happened? And remember, Carol had said that, I think it was her husband, that they were doing some digging in the crawl space or the basement area, but I think there was some cause for it, some reconstruction or shoring up the foundation. And Carol Fieldhouse had said that, I think it was her husband who said that they dug up and found four stones buried under the house, and they each had a strange symbol carved into them, not unlike the symbols on the Led Zeppelin album, Zoso, speaking of Ouija boards, as the spirit of the Ouija board. And so is that something that's binding them all there together? And, so you have that theory going on, is that there's just it's a highway, a Grand Central Station for the spirit world happening. But also I like the idea that Eric is presenting in that we do add to it with our own emotion. And I think that's all just part of it too. It's why our, hospitals and theaters and churches so haunted usually, because there's a lot of human emotion and energy that gets spewed all over and absorbed by the premises and the grounds themselves. And I've heard of mediums tell me you go somewhere and you get some EVPs, and it's like, well, there's really no haunting in the house. There's nothing inside the house that they could detect. It's coming from the grounds themselves. And just humans living there over centuries, could be 1,000 or 2 years when you're talking about Europe or more. And that has absorbed a lot of the spirit energy, and it's just coming back, although it's not like there's a residual haunting or by a ghost. You know what I'm saying? Not like there's a resident ghost there that had some tragic end and he's haunting people and wanting to get his message out. It's just like there's just a lot of spirits there. So I think somehow whatever's going on at Pontefract, it's displaying a lot of energies, and there could be very well a black monk or central figure that's manipulating other entities and controlling them for power and energy, and just a bunch of other spirits there just kind of roaming the halls. The question, though, Scott, is that after your experience at said infamous house, would you go to 30 East Drive?
I mean, it's not the top of my list.
Why not?
But, I might. There's a difference between coexisting with something dark and then having it feel like it's got it in for you, mm-hmm. which is the experience I had at Sally. It felt more personal in ways that I can't describe. But yeah, so no, I'm not ruling it out. I'm not ruling it out.
Yeah.
I'm never going to go into a haunted location again with a mindset of this place isn't haunted. I think that was the mistake I made.
That may be the lesson. That might have been the message to you, is that, oh, not taking it seriously? Well, take this seriously, buddy. Giving you a little spiritual sunburn.
Yeah, but I do love his idea of like these impressions. I've thought about that. Yeah. We've talked about that on the main show before. You know, the collection of this energy and these fears. And in some cases, maybe people leave their fears behind when they go to places like this. And that does wind up becoming like a petri dish in a way where it just continues to develop into something more. Maybe our fears have a kind of spiritual mass to them that is real, that it can exist outside of us. It can detach from us and connect to something else, animate or inanimate. And I mean, I do like the idea of that. And that's why we named this episode Stained, because he said it's like, maybe it's like a stain. So maybe it is. That's an interesting idea. Because when you think about what George Knapp and Colm Kelleher were talking about in Skinwalkers at the Pentagon, which we had them on our show to talk about that a year or two ago. I know it was January, but I can't remember which year, 23, maybe 22. But one of the things that's interesting in that book was the whole idea of this contamination and how you encounter something and it contaminates you and can also contaminate people you know that you don't even have to have recently been in proximity with. It's fascinating.
Yeah, it is. And it's a spooky action at a distance.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. People would say, well, it's supernatural. There's no reason for it. There may actually be some physics, laws of physics happening here. Quantum entanglement and things that we are just now theoretically exploring with theoretical physics and experiments, the double slit theory, and that things don't behave the way we expect them. So there's another set of laws going on that we just don't know about. And so, like I said, this might not be just, well, that's a neighbor of Fred's who is just here at Skinwalker Ranch. I'm going to go haunt the family next door and start pop up behind trees and run around as a giant, shadowy, hairy beast, ducking in and out and scaring the crap out of people that just know this person. But we are all connected, I think, spiritually and psychically as people. That's a common idea with those who have or claim to have experienced past lives, is that we all know each other from other past lives, and we're all kind of in this infinite journey with each other. But a lot of people that you know in this life, you knew in a past life. Certainly you've had that experience with medium Rebecca Fearing telling you that a very close friend of yours was a friend of yours in a past life. Well, that makes sense. We just want to keep those around us closer. And we have some kind of connection that has been proven out, I think, with just people's anecdotal experiences where they just know something bad or has happened to somebody they love or care about. They just got a feeling, especially with family members. That is so common, where there's no proof or reason for it, but they just knew something was off. And then they call them and they find out. And so there is that psychic connection. It's all kind of tied together in the same energy. And here, though, you know, another good question, you know, why are these places so haunted so many years after the original events? Are they haunted? Is this what we think of as a haunting? You know, do we contribute to this? Well, it is a stone tape theory idea. I believe that, energy has, and thoughts, noetics, they have mass, they have substance. Thoughts are things, and you can have emotion and thought and intention imprinted into physical objects. And have you ever been around somebody that was, you know, close to a fire, you know, at a campsite, and or walked through a mist of perfume, or just been close to somebody, or somebody that had a strong perfume or aftershave on them, and they've been out of the room for 20 minutes, and you can still smell them? Yeah. That's not spooky. Well, it can be, depending on the cologne, but it's physics. It's chemistry. It's just part of our world. Like, you leave a trace of wherever you've been for at least a little while. And oftentimes that can be picked up by those that come after.
Well, Eric, the next time someone sends you upstairs alone in a notoriously haunted house, bring a paranormal stain stick with you.
The Astonishing Dead Letter Office is hosted by Scott Philbrick and Forrest Burgess and is executive produced by Tess Feifel. The show is edited and mixed by Sarah Voorhees-Wendell at VW Sound. The theme is based on the Astonishing Legends theme by Judson Crane at Founder Music, arranged by Alan Carissia, who composes all the other music in the show. Tommy Beaver Design created the logo. The announcer is John Bowler. That's me. Stories are lightly edited for length, content, and readability, but otherwise presented as they're sent to us. We're always looking for more dead letters, so if you have a story of your own you'd like to share, email it to deadletteroffice@astonishinglegends.com. Please include how you would like to be credited. First name only, first name last initial, anonymous, a pseudonym. Let us know. Due to the number of emails coming in, we often cannot respond, but we do read them all. No part of the show may be reproduced anywhere without permission. Copyright Astonishing Legends Productions.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.